A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. Today is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and on the show today we speak about climate, the ocean, as well as poetry and writing. So up first, Lucy Hunt, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you. It's really nice to be with you, David. Thank you.
As we know, the diocese has a big focus on biodiversity and climate, and you're a part of a group that has a particular focus on that. Do you want to tell me about that?
Yeah. So I founded Sea Synergy Marine Awareness Research and Activity Centre back in 2014, and it was really to help people understand how important the ocean is and how we can look after it, because it does so much in looking after us and allowing us to live on the planet that it's good to give back. And we need a healthy ocean to have a healthy planet.
So Lucy, how much of the sort of ethos you're applying would you say would have came from Pope Francis's Laudato Si?
Yeah, good question. And I think really when I read the Laudato Si, I was delighted to see that was coming up. You know, it's so important when somebody like Pope Francis calls out to his congregation or the congregation to look after the planet, because we do have to live on the planet all together. We're all really one family living on this planet, and we have to look after our home, which is planet Earth. So when he asked for swift and unified global action to look after the planet, to try and prevent global warming, to look at the environmental degradation that is happening now and how we can stem that and try to stop it. You know, it was an amazing call from Pope Francis. And I think just more and more we'll see that, and hopefully, you know, more and more people from all different nations, all different backgrounds will understand how important it is, you know, to look after our planet, look after our home, really. For me, I was very, very happy. I was super proud to hear that coming from the Vatican. And it actually made me get more engaged in what Pope Francis was saying as well. So he spoke more my language around nature, which, you know, is often my church in a way. Nature is my church, and the ocean I go to for solace and reflection and things like that. So it was really good to hear that coming from him and calling on everyone really to have this global unified action for the planet.
That's wonderful to hear. And it's very important to all of us here in the diocese as well. So how did you get involved with this? Tell me a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a marine biologist from Waterville, and I learned to scuba dive when I was 12 off the coast of Derrynane and Deanish and Scariff Island. So I've been a water baby since very long time now. Yeah, I fell in love with the ocean. The ocean has always been part of our family. So when something's like family, you really want to try and protect it as well. Growing up with the ocean as a huge part of my life, I saw that, you know, it was in trouble. I decided to set up this organization and really help people understand why the ocean is important. And especially the Irish, you know, the coast around Ireland, how amazing it is. You know, we've got so much marine life here. You don't have to go away to see whales and dolphins or sharks. You know, they're all here on our own coast. But also just that the ocean is so important, from the food that it gives us to the oxygen that we're breathing. You know, that's actually coming from the ocean, a lot of it. So over 50% of the oxygen that we're breathing is actually coming from the ocean, from tiny little plants that were found in the ocean only in 1988. So, you know, we're discovering all this new cool stuff about the ocean all the time. It's great to be part of the Climate Cardiot event that's happening around COP30 and raising awareness of why the ocean is important when it comes to climate. It helps regulate our climate. It absorbs the heat, and it's actually one of the climate cycles as well. So when we think about the carbon and all of that extra carbon that's in our atmosphere, the ocean is drawing down a lot of that carbon and cycling it into something that's more good for the planet, like oxygen, or drawing it down into the seabed where it doesn't cause these greenhouse gases and these emissions, and is helping to cool the planet, really. So it's like a thermoregulator for our planet, the ocean.
That's very interesting. I did know that, but I always forget that it's not actually trees that are the big source of oxygen. Trees just seem to have a better public relations department than the ocean does, but it is the ocean that supplies us all our oxygen.
Yeah, well, not all of it. There are the trees as well and the photosynthesizing plants on land, yes, for sure. But as a marine biologist, I'm always going to advocate for the awareness of all of the ocean plants as well, and the things that, you know, you don't see them, so you don't know that they're there, but they're actually like these hidden wonders that do allow us to survive. And sometimes people just think, oh sure, the ocean's there and it's dangerous and don't go near it, you know, that's what we often hear in Ireland, it's dangerous. And it is, we have to respect it, and actually we should have reverence for the ocean, really. But there's so much good that the ocean gives us and provides us with, that reverence should be held high, and that we should look after it. So whether that's a beach clean, or thinking about what you're using at home, from plastic use to talking about the ocean more, and like saying, you know, did you know the ocean is that important? So there are all those sorts of things that we do with Sea Synergy. We try and connect people with the ocean, whether it's through an activity like an excursion, out kayaking or stand-up paddleboarding, or we do things like citizen science as well. So bringing the community down to the coast to do a survey to look at all of the biodiversity that you might find along a certain area of the coast, and then how you can report it as well into the National Biodiversity Centre, so that people feel closer to nature and closer to the coastline, and actually are empowered to become citizen scientists and support important science work. We've been doing that work now for a number of years. We've been open over 10 years now, and our community has grown wider and wider, and people are more aware and more engaged, for sure. So it's really good to see.
That sounds fascinating. I love those kinds of citizen scientist initiatives. We had someone on over the summer, Jane from the Tidy Towns Commission, who was advocating for something similar with regard to bees and insects, where you just sort of stand at a position on maybe a nature path and try to take a census of everything you see in a 10-minute period. So is the thing you're talking about a similar structure?
Yeah, well, that sounds like a bio blitz. Yeah, which is fantastic. So we do similar, but we might do a walk on a coastline. So you do take maybe 100 meter stretch, and then you can look at what you see there. There's an app called iNaturalist. So it's an international app, but you can report whatever animals you see in this app. Even if you don't know what it is, you just put the photo up and it has the geolocation, and then people can say what it is or identify it for you. So we started using iNaturalist as well for our Port Magee Channel project. So anyone walking the Port Magee Channel or the Valentia Harbour can report what they're seeing in this group, and then you get to see all the different species that are there. And I think we've over 400 species now recorded in the Port Magee Channel, so it's amazing.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. I remember once I was walking on Banna Beach, and in a 100 metre stretch I think I saw 900 dead jellyfish. That would have skewed the numbers.
You see them come in with the tide, for sure. Yeah,
it's interesting as well that you said that the ocean has such a strong impact on climate, because one thing we tend to forget in Ireland is that we're very far north and we should be much colder than we are, but we're sort of protected by, is it the Gulf Stream or the North Atlantic Drift? And there's been one or two occasions where that stream has been diverted or has cooled, and we have just absolutely frozen almost immediately.
Yes, Ireland is up. Basically, you could go across the Atlantic Ocean and you're up there by Quebec, which has a much colder climate than us in the winter time. You know, they get down to minus 30 at times. Oof. But because we have that Gulf Stream coming up from east coast of America and Mexico, we have a warmer current coming up, and that helps us to stay more temperate and not go into the freezing temperatures. And yes, there is an issue now due to climate change that the currents are slowing down around the North Atlantic Drift, that they're changing. Things are happening in the ocean that weren't happening before. So we see different things like temperatures are changing. There's more extreme weather events. So you might have a drought, you might have a flood, you might have extreme heavy winds like hurricane winds that are just coming more and more. And that is because the temperature of the ocean is changing. So it changes all these weather patterns and weather systems. Even when we look on a subsurface level, we see that the food chains are changing within the ocean currents as well. Because if you have warmer currents that are slowing down or colder currents that are coming down further, different things that could be happening all over the world's ocean, it's going to change the species that you get. So here in Ireland, we see some more of the subtropical species coming up, or some of the species that might have come and then left are staying for longer. I know I hear some fishermen complaining about grey triggerfish. There are species that have always come to Ireland for a long time. You hear more reports of lobster fishermen complaining because there seems to be a lot more of them, and they are actually eating the lobsters when they're in the lobster cages that the fishermen want to pull up. Right. So there's some issues around that. There's also the issues around the jellyfish. You mentioned jellyfish earlier. So sometimes there's massive blooms of jellyfish because you have an influx of very warm water because the subsurface of the water has been heated up to a very high temperature. But then you might have extra nutrients even coming off the land that affects, and then it over fertilizes the water. Then you have all of these extra nutrients that can bring in more species like jellyfish, but also they can cause dead zones as well. So there's less oxygen in the water because it's overheated. There's all the algae that's growing, things like that. So you get all of these different knock-on effects as well to the ocean, and that then has a knock-on effect to fish that we might be eating and things like that.
Is there anything that people listening can do to try and help the effort?
Yeah, I think really when we're talking like this week specifically, I guess it is about looking at how we can try and reduce our footprint on the planet, but also the tangible things like going out and making sure you do pick up tree for the sea. You know, if you're down on the beach, sometimes there's so much down there you can't pick it all up, and you might get guilty thinking about, oh my God, there's so much here, I can't pick it up. But just pick up as much as you can and just do what you can and try and leave a lighter footprint on the planet. We do have a beach clean happening on Waterville Beach from 10 until 12 Tuesday, and you can come along and we'll have some marine biologists there that can help tell you how the ocean is working in our favor to help us live here on planet Earth. And we'll also be picking up rubbish as well, so it'll be a feel-good morning. Definitely, I think, you know, when you do that sort of work, it's good for the soul.
So that's on Tuesday, which is the day after tomorrow.
Yes, so it's a nice way to spend the morning. Hopefully the weather will be fine. We'll have to see a few people down there on the beach helping clean up the beach.
Do people need to bring anything or do they need to pre-register?
Yes, you can pre-register on the Eventbrite. So that is eventbrite.ie and then /ebeachclean. And so you can also check out the Climate Cardiac webpage and Instagram, and you'll see the event on there. And if you don't get a chance to register, you can just show up and we'll have all the equipment and everything there for the litter picking.
I guess with registrations, it just sort of helps you have an idea of numbers, but you're not going to turn anyone away on the day if they want to help.
No, many hands make light work, and there's plenty of rubbish to pick up. And it's interesting, actually, when you look at the rubbish and where it's coming from. So you might see rubbish that has come all the way from the Caribbean on our shores, or you could see rubbish coming from Canada as well. So a lot of the Northeast Americas, you get a lot of rubbish coming over here.
Wow, I didn't realize it was coming from quite that far.
And I always say, you know, we are connected by currents, whether that's the currents connecting the rubbish, the species, or the climate. It does really connect us, and the ocean connects us all, really, whether it's the air we breathe, the water we drink, you know, for the water cycle, things like that. And even with some of the rubbish nowadays that we pick up, you can actually see the little bite marks where fish have bitten into it. So
Oh,
they're
wow.
eating that plastic, and then we're eating the fish. So it's not good. If we can reduce our use of plastic as much as possible, and then also go out and do the beach cleans as well, you know, it does help.
That's a wonderful biodiversity talk and great advice for everybody. So thank you for coming on Horizons, Lucy Hunt.
Thank you.
This is I Know Him So Well by Eilish Walsh. After the break, we talk about music happening in Ballybunion.